This is Disabled Girls Who Lift. We are reclaiming what's rightfully ours one podcast at a time. It's Mary Beth, Chloe, and Marcia bringing you the thoughts and unpopular topics to get you out of that ableist comfort zone. Hello, hello, yet again to another episode of Disabled Girls Who Lift. This is Marcia from South Florida on Seminole Tribe land. We have two hosts, and a very special guest. I'll allow Mary Beth to elaborate.
Ghost number two over here. what's up, y'all? It's Mary Beth from Northern California sitting on Ohlone land. We are super, 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 super excited to invite guest Maria Rabaino. We've been following you for a very long time. You've probably seen some of her fitness videos on our page as well, because she has lots of great instructional seated videos. Comes to us from Monterey, California, sitting on Esalen Tribe. Actor, certified personal trainer, dancer with the Rolettes, just a jack of all trades. So we are so excited to have you, Maria. Thank you.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm really looking forward to this. It's really exciting to be here. As you mentioned, I'm Maria, and I'm excited to get started.
Yes, lovely. Glad to have you here. So I do just want to spell out in terms of disclosure, because I feel like this is a thing for wheelchair users. Like whenever you're on a show or something, somebody's like, well, what happened? Like, we don't really care. You know, you don't have to talk. We don't have to talk about that. That's not what we're here to talk about. This is you now. We're going to talk about you now. So I'm curious, what COVID willing, what kind of projects are you working on right now? Because you seem to have many hats.
I'm currently working on specializing in corrective exercises and exercise therapy. So that way I have like more specific knowledge on how to properly train people with all different types of disabilities. So that way I can help them live healthier and happier lives.
Nice. So right now you have a background, like you went to school for something, or you're just trying to get knowledge, or?
They're all online courses. Mm-hmm. So I took this course on ISA, and that's how I got certified as a personal trainer. And then they have specializations. And so I signed up for those as well. And, you know, decided to put myself through more study torture, because why not?
That's funny. So that's one of our previous episodes. We talked with Ashley, who's also a personal trainer, and she's studying sports science or exercise physiology or something like that. I forgot. And she mentioned like, oh yeah, they have these, they called it special populations. And I'm like, oh, I wonder what that's like. And she's like, well, so far they're all trash.
Yeah, I mean, like... it's all stuff that just kind of scratches the surface, it feels like. I would love to someday create a course on how to train disabled people properly. That's more in depth and not just scratching the surface. Like the first three chapters are like talking about language, and they have handicapped as one of the languages. So it needs to like be updated.
How
and
old
it definitely
is it?
Like needs to be expanded on. Like it's a lot of things that are just kind of scratching the surface, not really getting into depth on how to properly train everybody.
I think this is one of those nothing about us without us things.
It definitely is.
They don't really know. So one of the examples she shared was like, they consider pregnant people a special population. And then the recommendations are like work out at 50% and the reps and the sets. And it's like, why?
Yeah, well, I mean, it does have like benefits to work out when you're pregnant, but like it's still just, I feel like there's not enough studies on people with different abilities and people going through like temporary abilities and things like that. So I think there needs to be more studies, and they need to actually have people who have specific disabilities in order to like figure out what works best.
those like blanket movements for just one type of disability rather than focusing on how that specific person can move.
Like, where'd you get this from?
Yeah.
Where'd you get this idea from? Who told you that?
Hollywood?
I don't know. Yeah. It's kind of a mess. So when you work out now and the stuff that you've been sharing, that's just experience?
It's all experience. So I started my fitness journey back in the start of 2017. And for me, it was, I was trying to just be happy again. I wasn't trying to lose weight. I just wanted to be happy. And I realized I was happiest when I was more active in my life. So I started working out. And if I looked up adaptive workouts, I would find people doing like bicep curls, sitting in a chair, not necessarily a wheelchair, but just a chair doing bicep curls, which is great. You know, like if somebody needs that, it's helpful, but there's so much more to my body. I have leg function. I can move my legs a bit and I want to figure out how to work those out to their strongest abilities. Unfortunately, it wasn't challenging enough for me personally. But then if I looked up adaptive or non-adaptive workouts, workouts by people who have no experience with disabled people, it was jumping over park benches and climbing a wall and all these things that I could not possibly do.
I can't stand the jumping workouts.
So I had to figure out what the middleman was. And one of my friends was like, why don't you try squats while holding on to something? It's not perfect, but it's better than nothing. And I was a little annoyed that I didn't come up with it myself. So we tried it. It was the most terrifying thing. But that's when I kind of realized that I need to keep filming how I'm adapting these workouts to give other people ideas. Because if I was struggling, other people were going to be struggling as well.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. And I can definitely like relate to that as far as avoiding certain machines or, you know, body movements in the beginning, not thinking that you have the ability to do it. But that's like, that experience is so necessary in your teaching too.
Wasn't that you in benching, Mary Beth?
I was like,
balance the bar.
I was like, never in my life will I ever bench press. And here we are, you know, or even squatting, like being able to, you know, balance the bar with both arms on the back, like, or you being able to squat while holding on to something, like, that's brilliant.
It is. It's such a simple thing, but it works for me. And my leg strength did improve when I did that. Like, I couldn't do a full squat before. Like, I barely bent my knees and then came back up because I felt like I was going to fall. And now I'm able to like actually do a full squat. I still have to hold on to something or else I'll fall, but
that's amazing. Know,
it can help. It's something is better than nothing for us.
Definitely. And it's like, you don't have to have, I don't know. I feel like there's such an either or extreme. It's like a dude in a chair doing bicep curls or somebody that's like, oh my God, I want to walk again. And they're like in the robot or you're doing this and that. And it's like, well, what if you're somewhere in the middle where it's like, I just want to be strong and happy.
There isn't enough.
So hard. Why is that so hard?
I want to see how far I can go. I'm not trying to walk again. I just want to be a little bit happier, a little bit healthier. And that's the goal for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love that goal. I love that you mentioned like, it's not about weight or anything. I just want to be happy. And
yeah.
Like, that's really why we should be doing any sort of movement. I mean, and that's also kind of why we're called Disabled Girls Who Lift, but we've had dancers.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's all movement. Movement is amazing. So
it really is.
Speaking of dance, Rolettes are dancers. Yeah. What's that about?
Yes, we are. We actually just got done filming our campaign video, which will be coming out soon. I'm really excited about it. But it's been very interesting with like being on a dance team and not being able to go anywhere to perform and just figuring out how we can get creative with that. We've figured out like through TikTok doing like little dance clips and just piecing it all together. But I do miss being able to like go and dance and travel the world and just meet other people. And hopefully that comes soon.
Dang, that sucks. TikTok is a skill though.
it takes some adjustment getting used to it and figuring it out, but
do whatever we had a friend teach us.
Yeah, it's a skill, like the timing, the cuts. I'm like, oh, I'm like dipping my toe in that water. It's a skill. I don't know about it, but you guys, you all, I'm sorry, I'm saying guys, you all live in the same area? How does the roulette work?
Most of the girls live in LA. I live the farthest away in Monterey. So I drive about 5.5 hours whenever I'm down there. We try to do as much of it as virtually as possible for like the sake of me, but I drive down to LA about once a month on like the slowest season. Sometimes it's every weekend I'm down there. It's a lot, but I love the team and I love being with the girls and I believe in our message. So until I can afford something better, that's what I'll have to do.
And it's getting so big that you might be able to, you know, start a Northern California chapter. There are so many amazing dancers up here. We can connect you to, you know, Dance for All Bodies based in Berkeley, the East Bay.
Yeah, we do want to expand someday. We want to have like different little teams in like maybe Houston and maybe NorCal and just like different areas. We would love to do that. We had to put that on hold, of course, but hopefully someday.
Damn, but it's tough though, like dancing virtually, obviously all like actors, dancers, everyone in the entertainment industry had to put either their professional lives on hold or find all of these different ways to perform. Mm. And I think the genre that you all perform is hip hop mostly, right?
Yes.
And that's always performed in groups. So how are you doing that virtually? Just like 10, 20 different screens?
On Zoom. So for the TikToks, we all like send a video out and we all practice that and film us doing the whole thing. And then one of the girls will edit it and like kind of clip it so where we each get like a couple seconds on the video. And then Connor and Chelsea, they are like our biggest like dancers. They have the most dance experience. So they choreograph some routines and they'll send that to us as well. And we'll practice it again and film it at our own home. Thankfully, we all have the tools we need to film at home. Nice. And then again, we just kind of clip it together as best as possible.
That's awesome. Yeah, still building, I mean, community and everybody, I'm sure, enjoyed watching that. So you didn't stop it at all.
And then speaking of community, we have also kind of like focused more on the community itself and less on the dance aspect. So like once a month, we have a virtual girls night where we just kind of hang out through Zoom and chat with other girls with disabilities and just spend time with everybody. And it's, you know, it's really fun. And we are more connected with other people now than we've ever been because of the pandemic and because of everything that's been happening. And it's really cool how we've taken this rough year and turned it into a good positive for us.
Yeah.
That's funny. Cause I've heard that sentiment for a lot of things by disabled folks. Cause you have some folks that have been online forever, right? Like there's disability Twitter and they like run deep and people in there with like 50, whatever K followers and all that. But then there's some folks that are kind of like us and we're like kind of small scale, we're keeping it local, and then pandemic hits and they're like, oh, there is the internet, right?
We've had it for so long and we haven't figured out how to use it as a proper tool, and this has forced us to do that.
Yeah,
and now like also everyone's forced to pay attention to everything. Like we're probably watching like 100 different TikTok trends a day.
I know.
Yes, there are so many different ones. It's hard to keep up sometimes.
Honestly, you need to hire a person just to keep up with TikTok trends, I think.
Yeah. I spend some of my free time just like scrolling through and being like, oh, that's a good idea. I'll save it for later when it's my film day. That's what I have a film day and I just kind of change into different outfits and take advantage of my days off.
Smart. Very smart. Mm-hmm. So you just do it all in bulk and then plan your post and all that.
Makes it a little bit easier.
That's a smart way to do it. And you said on your days off, so what are you doing on the other days when you're working?
I am a personal assistant and I have just the most amazing boss who's understanding with whenever I need to take off extra time at work in order to get the dance team rolling or to work on my own personal career. I work for him. It used to be 4 days a week, but we're switching it to 3 days a week so I can have more time getting things done here at home. But just a personal assistant. It's the boring pay the bill job, but the best boss in the world. And he's also disabled. He's a quadriplegic. So it's nice to just like relate to him and be like, hey, having a high chronic pain day. And he's like, I didn't get much sleep last night, so come in a little bit later.
Yeah, you don't have to okay, explain great. Yourself. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's such a, yeah, I know. That's so good. Oh my God.
It's a dream. So I'm living a great life.
I was literally going to ask, like, if the accommodations only came after COVID, because, you know, all yeah. of a sudden everyone was able yeah. to start making accommodations, but no, it seems like you've always had that good communication.
Yeah, it's great. It's absolutely phenomenal to have a boss that understands exactly
seriously,
what you mean.
You don't have to, oh my gosh. And not, I mean, I work for myself now because of that. Cause you know, they yeah. wouldn't understand. I'd be like, yo, I can't really handle lifting this giant man and then doing this for 5 more hours. And they'll be like, oh, but on your Instagram, you were squatting. I don't understand.
Oh.
It's very different.
Two separate things.
Very different things. Working and doing physical activity when you're working is so different. Cause when you're working out, you take some rests, you drink some water, you stretch. At work, it's all about the hustle and there's no time and it's not as accessible.
Yeah, and you budget your energy. Like, you, like, all right, I'm going to work out today, so I'll do this differently and that. And then, okay,
yourself
I'll wash
for like an hour.
Exactly.
Like 8. So, different.
It's kind of not the same thing. I don't, it's a very hard
and don't
concept.
Forget. You're not wearing a squat belt when you're lifting this.
I know, right?
I need my equipment, damn it. I need creatine, I need pre-workout, my squat belt, like everything.
Oh gosh, the worst. That's why then I can't deal with that. But I'm a physical therapist, so have you really gotten physical therapy to figure some of these exercise things out, or not really?
Not really. Insurance stopped covering it once I became independent. They no longer found it medically necessary. I hate
there
that
it
term.
Is. There it is.
And I think it would be really cool. And I would love to be able to get into physical therapy because I have anterior pelvic tilt. And I would love to even out the strength between my left leg and my right leg. My left leg is super strong and my right leg is like there's some things that I would love to work on, but unfortunately insurance doesn't cover it. So it's just been kind of like me diving into personal training and all of the other things that I'm working on to try to figure out how I can do it myself. But
yeah.
maybe someday I'll make enough money to where I can hire somebody else to help me out with it.
Yeah. Pay somebody cash. That's yeah. It makes me so sad. Cause I feel like that's such the huge gap when it comes to physical therapy and like rehab stuff. Like once you're like, oh, you live by yourself, you could work now, great, done,
bye, yeah,
discharge. Even like little old ladies, they just set arbitrary things like, oh, you broke your hip, you can walk 150 feet, cool, bye.
That yeah like they get you like
what
to a surviving point. And then it's not enough. And then you go home and you're trying to figure out what you can do. And then my chronic pain gets bad when I'm not active. You know, just there's so many different problems that come with it.
And you had to figure out your actual where you live, you know, like how yeah. you go move around in your kitchen, your driving. So you have to figure that out on your own also.
Yeah. Well, I went to a great, I got most of my rehab done at Shriners Hospital.
Oh, yeah.
So they were amazing and they helped me out and they gave us like all the resources that I needed. There was, so for driving, I had to hire a company to install my hand controls. And then they said they wouldn't do it unless I got proper training. And so they connected me to another company that would teach me how to drive with hand controls. And so while I was doing that, they worked on my car. It costed a pretty penny, but
yeah.
How I got it done.
You had to pay for the training as well?
Yeah, I had to pay for the training. I think that was around, this was back in 2012. And I think around then it was around like $500-$600. And then the hand controls, I think, are around $2,000 now. So
damn.
I thought it'd be worse, but that's just the equipment, not the labor.
That's the equipment. Okay. The equipment and then the training was like $500-$600, I think. I can't remember though.
Man. That's what do they call that? There's a word for that when it's expensive to just get the stuff you need when you're disabled.
I don't know.
They call it disability tax. There it is. That's what they call it.
Disability tax. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, what do you need? It costs more. Here you go.
It costs more. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Here you go. Yikes.
Oh, it's frustrating.
And it's So, oh my gosh, that makes me so mad. Because imagine you need to get in and out of your car. Like, what if you were strong enough to, you know, roll down the street, but not strong enough to do your transfer to your car? You could.
It takes time to figure to get that. Oh my
gosh! Yeah.
Yeah. Thankfully at Trainers, they like had me practice on like a mat, and they like raised the mat to like a car height, and they had me practice transferring like that. And then they had me practice taking my chair apart. And then they let me roll out into the parking lot and practice in my mom's car, was nice. So I scratched up my mom's car a couple of times.
I'm sure.
I mean, my car still has scratches, so that's just wheelchair problems.
You could never have a nice paint job. Sorry.
It's funny. Getting my chair in and out of the car is actually one thing that helped me meet my husband. I was trying to figure out, I wanted to go out when I finally was figuring out how to drive, and I was still having a hard time getting my chair in and out of the car. So, and my mom was like, I don't feel comfortable with you going. Like, what if you have a hard time and it's 2 a.m. and you can't get a hold of me to get your chair in the car? And I was like, I want this. So I sat in the garage for like an hour, literally practicing, just like taking it apart, throwing it in the car, putting it back together, like just doing that for an hour. And I'm like, can I go out? She's like, okay, fine. And that's what and so when I went out, I met my husband.
Wow. Oh, where'd you meet?
So we met at a club.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just barely missed online dating.
Lucky you.
And then, I know, I'm so happy. Online dating started picking up when we met, and we just skipped that whole phase, which was a relief.
That's I can't really imagine doing that.
No, I'm good. I'll stay with him.
So what you're saying, it sounds like you're real stubborn. Your mom was like, no, you can't go. And you were like, oh, really?
Really? Yes, I'm very stubborn. Yes. Somebody telling me I can't do something only motivates me more to do it.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That's my
husband. I can't do this. That's interesting.
All I'm picturing is like you outside of the garage, it like pouring down rain, and you're still there practicing. It's only been an hour, but you're still practicing. Like,
Maria, Maria, what are you doing? Nothing, Mom. I gotta get this.
I'm going out.
I'm meeting my husband tonight. I'm meeting my future husband tonight. God damn it.
Yes, quite literally.
Oh my gosh.
That's so beautiful. Oh.
Yes. That's so lit. I love you.
We're cute. Yep. It's so disgusting.
Yeah. Sounds like it. Sounds pretty adorable.
That is what I really liked about Rolette's when I first discovered the page, like showing the reality of road trips, right? Because you would mm-hmm. always have to go on road trips, showing the chair transfer, going out and putting gas, and having to do that with like 3 or 4 wheelchairs sometimes in one van.
Yes.
Damn.
You should see us when we have to go to the airport together.
Oh my gosh.
And it's like all of us. So like we order 2 Uber XLs and like we pile up, like we divide up. So like 3 in 1, 3 in another. And then like we got to fit our wheelchairs and our luggage. The Uber drivers panic. Sometimes they've like literally canceled on us and we've had to order another
like
Uber.
In your face, like they pulled up and said no, like never.
They pulled up, they like drove, they saw us, they hit cancel and just drove away. They're like, oh, nope,
asshole.
Not today.
You could be kidding me.
Assholes.
Oh my goodness.
I would probably panic if I was in his scenario. It's a very interesting situation, but we have it down. We have a system, like we all get in. We have able bodies with us that will help them. So we're not leaving these poor people alone with 6 chairs and luggage, but.
Yeah. You're laughing, but it's like, damn, like y'all could have been left stranded anywhere. Luckily you're at an airport where it's super busy.
Yes.
I didn't even think about that. And dang. So actually getting on the plane is, I know every airline has their own process. How's that part? Getting to the airport's a hassle. Yes. So now we're at the airport.
So thankfully we get to cut the line at TSA. So that's relatively easy. I try to wear like a tank top and leggings or like a sweater and shorts, like minimal clothing that's still like enough to keep me warm, but makes the pat down even faster and easier.
Yeah.
And then at the airport, when we get to the gate and we get our claim and gate tag, we get like 3 or 4 aisle chairs and we just kind of like we all transfer on, and we like, I buckle myself up because they take forever doing it. They're like treating me like glass, pulling everything over and like trying to buckle me in. So I just kind of do it while they're busy helping someone else out. They store all of our chairs under the plane. And then like, as one's loading into the plane, they're getting another one ready. And then they'll come out with the empty aisle chair, and like somebody else will hop on while they pull into the next person. And it's just like this go, go, go system.
Yeah, they've got a system.
Yeah. We've got the system. Yeah, you like, get we this. Know this is chaos. Mm-hmm. You don't deal with this every day, but we got this.
Here's our manual. Please follow the
Please
steps.
Open this 3-page booklet.
Yeah. Thankfully, we get to board one. First. So we hog up like all the carry-on sections and with like our cushions and the smart drives and anything else that we're bringing. It's very interesting. Great.
And y'all
we don't sit together either. We all get window seats because it's much more comfortable for us. Mm-hmm. So we'll be like, bye, nice, we'll see you at the end of the flight.
Oh my goodness.
Do you have hair and makeup artists traveling with you too, or you do it all yourselves?
Steph taught us all of like our makeup tips and tricks, so we all do our makeup.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
she, I think I don't know the names, but I think I know which one you're talking about. She has all the videos and tutorials.
Yes, yes. She was the Ulta. She was on Ulta. She's the first wheelchair user that was featured in Ulta. But yeah,
no, her skills are baller.
Oh, she's amazing. She's fantastic. I was not the best at makeup. I had, you know, I was a mascara and lipstick kind of girl. That was it.
Yeah.
And she taught me more and. It's actually fun now. It's
that's the first thing I noticed when you came on.
Yeah,
you look great.
Well, thank you. She did, I owe it all to Steph and Sam and Chelsea. They helped me out in the beginning, but it was Steph that really like sat with me and let me do. I'm a kind of learner where I have to like learn hands on.
Yeah.
So she would like, all right, hold the brush like this, like move it like this, like just use a little bit. Try this color. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Wow. Wow, that was nice.
It was great. It was so helpful.
When I look at her videos, I feel like she's the kind of person that would look at you failing doing it and be like, okay, come here, let me show you. Is that how it happened?
she'll watch you. Like, it's terrifying doing your makeup. It's the most terrifying thing. And she'll just be like, did you just do this?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no, you got to do it like this. But there's no rules to makeup, but you got to do it like this.
I knew it.
It's so terrifying.
That's great. Oh, I love, like, the girl gang vibe y'all have going.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, so necessary, especially if you're traveling together.
It makes it so much more fun. Like, I joined the team when I was only 5 months injured, and I helped start the team. And for me, it was the first time where I felt like a woman. Since all of this had happened, since I was adjusting to life, like I felt like a woman, not somebody going through this disability journey. And it was so much fun that we just had to start it, and we had to keep figuring out ways to grow so other people could find their connections and find their someone to also feel that empowered and feel great.
Oh, the feels. My heart. The feels. That's amazing. So you knew... So you helped start it?
Yes. Uh-huh. Back in 2012, through Facebook and social media stalking, I got connected with Chelsea. Mm-hmm. My dad was looking up the reality show Push Girls and found Chelsea's dad on Facebook. And Chelsea and her dad drove up from Monterey to Sacramento, which is where I lived at the time, to meet me and like just get to know me and kind of like mentor me for a little bit. And then a couple weeks later, she's like, hey, I'm doing this dance camp. It's like a one-time thing. We're gonna learn a couple routines. We're gonna perform it at the end of the week. Do you wanna come? And I'm like, be around other women in wheelchairs and hang out with a reality TV star? Yeah, you know, that sounds great. And so I got to hang out with Chelsea. I got to hang out with Allie. I got to hang out with all these other incredible women. We were learning these dance routines from like 10 in the morning till 10 at night, hustling, having fun, racing in Target, like just being wild children and having the time of our lives. And we were like, this is a lot of fun. We need to keep doing this. So let's make it a team. And that is how the Rolettes was born.
Holy crap. Dang. Shout out to Dad. Way to go, Dad. Yeah. He's a good creeper on Facebook. Look at him.
He did great.
Dad's finding dads on Facebook. That's the best.
I mean, he wasn't too happy when I was like, I'm moving to Monterey. And he's like, what?
Oh, crap. What?
Yeah.
That's not what I asked for.
I just wanted you to get to know people and like be independent again.
Dang. That's, you just never know, man. I'm glad you brought that up. You just never know how things start. I had no idea that's how it started at all. I kind of, I don't know. I guess I never like dug that deep. I just watch what you guys post. But that's kind of how we started. It's like, you know, you just see someone like, I think they'll be cool. You just shoot your shot. And then next thing you know, we have a podcast. Okay, here we are.
It's good to have people who've been through similar experiences because they can relate a lot easier and it just makes life better, and they could give you tips to make life easier, like figuring out what products work best for you or like how you can get jeans on if you're struggling to get jeans on. Like they can help with so many different things and explain it better than rehab can.
For sure. And do you find that you speak to, let's say, your Rolettes in the community about things differently than you would, I don't know, your husband or your parents, you know?
Not with my husband. My husband, he has like grown with me with this journey. Like he met me when I was only a few months injured. And so like, he kind of like watched me grow and he like saw my absolute worst days. And he's also seen my absolute best days. So he kind of understands a little bit. He still doesn't understand how I can move my legs, but not feel them. But, I mean, it's definitely different though with like the girls and the team and like other people who don't have disabilities, like, you know, but then like there's stairs here. Can you hang out here? I don't know if the bathroom is accessible. Mm-hmm. And then with the Rolettes, we're like, we'll figure it out. We'll crawl. We'll do what we have to, or we'll just not go there. We'll go to the different accessible bar.
That was something, who mentioned that about their friend was like, oh, how tall is the toilet? And she's like, oh, I don't know. I never thought of that.
Oh, yeah. Dang, I don't remember.
Yeah, I can't remember right now. Sorry. But wheelchair user hanging out with her other wheelchair user friend, but still, you know, totally different experiences. So she's like, how tall is the toilet? And she's like, I don't know.
It was definitely Marie Pontini.
Yeah, it was Marie. Dang. I don't know why I was blanking for a second. Yeah. But it's just so wild because imagine there's that much difference between you talking to someone else with a disability. Like once you talk to an able-bodied person, it's just like, it's just a mountain. Yeah. Never mind. I'm not climbing that.
The more time I spend with them, the more they like start to like realize and understand. Like they don't pick up my chair and shove it in the car, but they'll like kind of like hand me, they know how to take off the wheels of my wheelchair and like they'll hand it to me, which makes it a little bit easier because then I can just like lay in the back seat, grab it and move it over instead of like pulling myself back up and grabbing the next wheel and flopping myself back down. You know, you just got to train them.
yeah, that's what it is. A little training. For real. I mean, there's definitely stuff I don't talk about with everyone. It's just a waste of breath. I wouldn't even bother. Like when you mentioned like pain days, like I don't even talk about that kind of stuff with people. It's a waste. It doesn't. I just, you know, I can't hang
it
out
takes
today.
More
bye.
Energy.
Yeah.
And talking about it only makes it worse. Yeah. Like I'll be fine and then like my mom's best friend will be like, how's your pain been? And I'll be it just came.
Oh, you just woke it
thanks
up.
For reminding me.
Thanks Bye. For reminding me.
Thank you.
Man.
Actually right now my toes are on fire because you asked.
Thanks for asking. Okay. Now it feels like I'm walking on needles, even though I'm just sitting here. I hope you're happy.
And it's nice too, just like not being that token disabled friend or that other in the friend group or whatever. Yeah,
that's true.
Like you always forget, like, you know, we have so many different things we identify with in our personality, queer, disabled, like everything. And then when we're with our like able-bodied friends, they just see us as like, oh, my one-handed friend or my friend in the wheelchair. I'm like, God damn it. What about everything else?
Yeah. What about the personality part of me? Like, yeah, I'm the wheelchair user, but I'm also the goofball. I'm also pole dancing. I'm also in theater. Like, exactly. I'm obsessed with karaoke.
Pole dancing. Where are you pole dancing?
I used to pole dance at a studio, but that has been closed due to everything going on. So I finally got impatient enough to buy my own pole, and I'm back to practicing it. It's painful, but it's a lot of fun. I've seen
the bruises. I don't know.
Oh my god! Yeah,
I don't know. So you have I've seen the kind where it's like a base, and then it's just a pole, and there's another kind where it's like attached to your ceiling.
Yes, right? It's like all suction based. So like it suctions onto the ceiling and then it's all like tension. So I don't have to like drill a hole into my ceiling. My landlord would not be happy with
that would
not be true. But it's all still like really safe, like the way they designed it. So that way I can continue to push myself.
Yeah.
Dang, that's hard. Woo. The abs of steel with that.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's definitely more of an upper body and abs thing than it is a leg thing. The legs help, but if you have a strong enough upper body, you can climb a pole without really using much of your legs.
Yeah. Have you ever tried pole, Mary Beth?
I got tons of friends that are in like World of Pole, like, or what is it called? I think that's what the competition's called, World of Pole.
Oh, I don't know. I'm not that deep.
It's all over my Instagram, but I've been curious. I've definitely seen a pole in somebody's house before and them trying to teach us the tricks. Mm-hmm. It takes also like, I think some of you use chalk.
Yes. So yeah. There's a lot of different things to like help your body stick to the pole. Like you like wipe down the pole with alcohol, rubbing alcohol, like just like really wipe it down and it gets like any kind of grease and grime off of it. And that makes it easier to hold on to. You can do, there's like chalk. There's also tack, which you like, it's kind of like a gel that you put on your hands and like any other part of your body that will be reliable.
We know about tacky and strong.
Yeah. Yeah. And it also just like helps you stick to the pole. There's a lot. And then like minimal clothing. The reason why they don't wear a lot of clothing is because like with leggings, your clothes would just slide down the pole.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't be able to hold yourself up. You got to use your skin to like stick to the pole.
Yeah.
Fabric doesn't really work that well. It'll just be like,
you just fire right down. You'll just be pole sliding, not pole dancing. Yeah,
exactly.
I think you could get it done with some hook. Like, I'm pretty sure you can get around it, Mary Beth, just hooking.
You could definitely do it.
I haven't like actually tried it. I've always been curious. I know it's going to be a lot more lower body and then the one hand. And then I've seen, the hook, right?
I'm sure you can hook it because that's a part of it anyway. I don't know. It's not for me. I tried it. I do like the silks though. Yeah. I tried a place where I had both. The silks are pretty lit. It's pretty, and it's kind of funny going into, and I wonder if you have this kind of experience, Maria, like it's kind of funny starting new things when you're already into fitness, so you're stronger than everyone. So then you pull up and they're like, okay, honey, so you're going to grab it. I'm going to be like, yeah, like this. Then what? They're like, like I'm already in the air. What else?
Okay.
Like, oh, I didn't. All right.
I'm just now finally finding the disabled pole community. So I can like learn from them, because when I go to the studio, it's bunch of people without disabilities, and they're like, I don't know how to train you. And well, it's okay, like I have like a basic idea, so you just teach the class and I will hog up this pole for an hour and work on my own thing. But that just is discouraging for other people. So
it is, and it kind of sucks because at least I don't know, it's because there's definitely, even me, you know, I have my own issues. I'm a physical therapist, but there's still times that I'll have a patient and I'll be like, I don't really know how to do this, but we'll figure it out together at least, you know?
Yeah.
And so it sucks when you don't have that space. Like, we'll figure it out. We're going to fail a few times. Might hurt. I might look stupid. You might look stupid.
But we're going to try.
But we're going to try.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm glad you at least have that like space to explore and figure it out, even though COVID messed you up.
Yeah. I'm a year out of practice and my body is like, what? We haven't done this in a while. What are you doing?
What are we doing here?
You gotta go back to the basics. Is there an online like disabled pole dancing community?
Yeah. What is
there? I found a Facebook group.
Oh.
I think it's like, I can't remember what it's called. I'll have to look it up, but it's there's like a Facebook group. I went on one pole Facebook group and I mentioned that I have a disability, so I'm still trying to learn. And then like, oh, you might like this group. And so I found another disability specific Facebook group, which has been, I'm excited to figure that out more.
So people still are on Facebook and doing groups, because I don't even mess with Facebook anymore. I know. All
right. They just use them for groups. I don't think they use them for like really anything else. And it's just, so I know like some personal trainers, they, or even certified nutritionists, they'll like have like a Facebook group for people who have paid for their program. And then they can talk about more in-depth things in there. Like it's like, so some people still use Facebook just for the groups though, not for Facebook specifically.
Interesting. Yeah. So
Facebook isn't completely dead.
Not totally dead. So I didn't mention this before we started, but we're going to pause for like 2 seconds.
Okay.
So we could sneak a commercial in and, you know, get some eddies real quick. So like 2 seconds, quick pause, guys. Hold on. We'll be right back. Okay. That's it. Right. Mary Beth will get it in the post. All right. We're back. Sorry. I forgot to mention that. Anyways,
oh, no, you're good.
All right. How do you have time for all of this? She works 3-4 days a week. She's a roulette. She's doing her own learning, personal training, pole dancing, still working out, posting her own content, posting the roulette content. Damn. You need your own personal assistant, wouldn't you?
My husband, thankfully, he hasn't been working this year because of he lost his job, but he's a chef, so he cooks dinner for me, and he's very supportive and very helpful, so he's kind of like been there for me. But I've had friends call me a machine. I don't know how I do some things either, but it's all about just kind of figuring out a system that works for you. So my personal training hasn't completely taken off yet, but that's just because I hadn't had the time due to work. Now that I'm working only 3 days a week, I get to have an extra day to where I can figure that out. But the content, again, I just kind of film it all in one day. I change outfits if I need to. And my bed is an absolute mess when I do that. But it's still good. And then with the roulette stuff, I have a separate day for filming anything that needs to be done. I'll drive down there when I need to. It's just about figuring out my own personal weird system. It's a lot, though. But
it is. But, I mean, everything that you're doing is something that you enjoy.
Yeah,
like you're not doing is. Well,
and that helps.
Yeah,
it's something that I enjoy, so it really helps. It also therapy, so that way I can vent to my issues about something with somebody who has no idea or like has no
bearing on your life. Yeah, life,
you know, just an outside voice who can help talk to me, and so it's nice.
That's great. And remember, y'all, just find yourself a chef boo that can cook.
Yeah, chef
10 out of 10 recommend. Are you looking for a lover? Make sure they can cook.
Marrying a chef is the best decision ever.
No. Yeah.
And I love him. But
I mean, you know, but the food comes first. Whatever. Yeah, I got my husband for his birthday. I like redid the patio, and I got him like a smoker. I cleaned it up, got new patio furniture, and that was like a lot of effort, a lot of money for his birthday. But you know what? It's the gift that keeps on giving, baby.
Right.
We did brisket every
barbecue.
Week. We got
there you
chicken.
Go.
It was the best. It was the best idea I've ever had.
You bought it for yourself, my dear. You bought it for yourself.
Yes.
Think smart.
Yeah, I gotta think smart. I have so much energy for activities now. It's great.
Yeah,
exactly.
Maria, what about acting and theater? How long's it been since?
It's been a while for that. I figured out that that's one thing that I can't do as much as I'd like. I have to kind of limit myself to only one show a year. And so I usually do a burlesque show for Valentine's Day weekend. Fortunately, I couldn't do it this year, but I'm itching for things to go back to normal so I can go back to it. But yeah, other than that, I try to help out at like local community theaters. And I will like help out with like concessions, or I'll help out with ticketing and things like that, just like kind of small things, so that way I can go to the show for free and like watch my friends and support them and still stay in touch with them. But I'd mainly just put myself through the vigorous rehearsal process only once a year.
That's great. Oh my gosh. Burlesque sounds fun and hot.
Oh, it is. It's really fun. It's really, really fun.
In Monterey, or where specifically?
Yeah, in Monterey. It's local theater company, Paper Wing, and they're really great. They opened me with open arms right away. They're like, "Oh yeah, come on!" And they accept my weird ideas. I brought up pole dancing to them, and they're like, "Yeah, okay.
Why not? Okay, Maria, you can, what you else? Do it?
Okay." It's like, thank you for putting this trust in me.
That's nice. So the acting, the acting in the theater is that one show a year. So that's smart. You can't overdo it.
Yeah, I burnt myself out trying to do it all one year, and I had to just kind of step back and take a break and accept that once a year is what's going to work best for me.
Yeah, and rehearsals take like 3-4 months sometimes. It's like a full season.
And the burlesque show works perfectly because it's like a show that we build from the ground up, which sounds stressful, but like you pick the songs that you want to dance to, you pick like the kind of burlesque dance that you want to do, whether it's a reverse strip or a bubble, like a balloon popping or anything, like you can like kind of design it to make it your own. So I usually don't do group numbers. I just kind of do solo routines. And that way, if I have to travel for roulettes, I can still practice like at night while I'm away and still be able to have everything that I need. If it's like a different show, if it's like I was in Rocky Horror and that's, you know, there's scripts involved. There's, mm-hmm. you have to do a lot of group work and everything like that. And it was really hard with my traveling schedule. So to keep it fair for everyone, the burlesque shows work really well because of how customized it is.
Oh, that's great.
That makes sense.
Yeah. They just kind of pick a theme and we go with that theme. The last one that we did was Broadway burlesque, and that was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Oh man. And that's great too. It's bringing all of your skills together, singing, dancing, acting, all in one.
Yeah. It's a fun way to like really challenge myself. And I love challenging myself.
Yeah.
Obviously.
And theater is something you've always done, or is that new for you?
I started it in high school and I wanted to major in it when I was in college, but then I realized college wasn't for me, so I kind of gave that up, and the Rolettes was doing really well. And I've always been like a natural performer. I cheered. If I'm like out doing something and people are watching and they're smiling because of it, or they're feeling an emotion because of it, mm-hmm. I'm happy. So I've always kind of naturally been a natural performer, and it's fun.
And I'm glad you said that too, because I feel like there's so much, I don't know. I mean, obviously there's jobs where it's like, okay, you want to be a surgeon? Yeah. It would be great if you went to college, you know, it'd be great. Yeah. Have that under mm-hmm. your belt. Yeah. But there's just some things where it's like, for what?
Yeah. For $80,000 of debt.
For what?
For you're debt.
Gonna, and you're going to take like those 2 years that mean nothing to you, right? Like English 1 and 2. And then you have to take a random religions elective or philosophy. And then
you have to take a lot of classes that have nothing to do with what you want.
Oh, hate it. Hate it. How did your parents take that?
lied to them for a bit.
Okay.
First, I stopped doing I completed 2 semesters at a 4-year Sac State. And then I moved to Monterey, And I told him that I was doing community college, but I did not do community college. I did go for one semester, but it was just to kind of like reinforce, like, no, college is not for me. Right. But eventually, they saw me still working towards my goals, and they saw me kind of moving forward with my life, and I'm still able to pay the bills. So once they kind of realized that college wasn't for me, they're like, all right, you know. It's okay. Fine. I just kind of eased them into it.
Wow, that's a system.
You gotta play the long game sometimes.
Yeah, and they've got tons to be proud of too. You know, I think that's probably like a huge thing about college with parents is they want to take pride in their kids, but you have so many great qualities to you.
Yeah,
that outweighs all of that.
That's so true. But there's so much to that. Like, I know for sure when it comes to like immigrant culture, like my parents are not from here. You know, they were born in Haiti. Like, immigrant culture is like, oh, well, you need to get the standard job that you know will pay you. Be a nurse. If you're not going to be a nurse, be a doctor. Nothing else.
True.
Like, anything else you choose is a disappointment. Like, it doesn't matter. But then once it's like, I don't know, 5-6 years in, and whatever you chose is successful, they're like, oh yeah, look at my daughter. She's a physical therapist. Have you seen her? Like, that wasn't your energy before.
Yeah. Where did this come from?
Yeah, well, I mean, if you think about it, in the countries that, like, I mean, the Philippines, same thing, nurse.
Yeah.
Like, these are the successful careers in those countries, so that's what they want to see in the U.S., just with more money.
Yeah.
Right. But here we have so much. We have Hollywood, we have sports, we have literally everything.
There's a lot of different kind of things out there that you can be successful on. The hard thing is getting to that point. Like, it's like dirt poor, you're not making any money. Yeah. And then one day it's like you've made it to the top. And it's very interesting.
Yeah, there's no in between.
Yeah,
like, you know, like we mentioned earlier, TikTok is a whole different world. There's tons of people that have done that just from TikTok, just from people watching on the pandemic, and now they're like, one I could think of off the top of my head is the Elsa chick. I don't know if you've seen her jokes, but she's funny. She's the one that's always like, she says a joke and then she like chews her chips and it's a part of the punchline.
I'll have to check that.
Oh, they're so good. Like, she had one that was like, I don't want a job. You want to do labor for free? And then she laughs and chews her chips. And now she has like a show, you know, like, what? Yeah. What?
Well, yeah. And then off of like YouTube and social media, and like, you're getting six figures a lot of these times, as long as you have followers.
It's a wild world out here.
You can't tell your parents that though. They won't believe you.
They don't understand.
You have to show them like this, look this. And my parents are kind of understanding how social media can be a job. I've been like, you know, like, you can get sponsored posts, you can get paid through like advertisements, and like, you can sell your own merch, and you can do all these different kinds of things. And they're like, oh, there's actually a lot of opportunity there. I'm like, yeah, you finally see it.
Yeah,
it's entertainment at home, and you don't have to pay for all the producers, the the tech people. Yeah. Like, you're just paying yourself. Point.
That's a good point.
I mean, it's a lot of freaking work.
Yes, for sure a lot of work. But I think when you have this kind of a personality and that just knack for it, I think you found your niche for sure. You're just gonna waste your time in the classroom and just like hate yourself and get in debt for 4 years and then come out of it like, okay. Yeah.
Thankfully it was only 2 semesters for me.
Man. Oof. Yeah, that's my husband for sure. He went through school and like started as a nurse, and then he's like, I hate this.
My husband is followed in debt, but it was for chef school, so at least it's like still doing something that he loves, but we've accepted it. He's just got to figure it out.
Yeah And chefs are needed out everywhere as well.
It's a different ball game with the pandemic. That kind of stinks.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're still able to pay our bills, and he's cooking for me more now, so we're not complaining. We've somehow got very lucky and very blessed with this pandemic, and fortunately, we are better off I was actually to save money for once in my life. And even though he hasn't been working, he's still been able to be there for me, which is nice.
Yeah. Well, that's true, because you're not able to do as much, so you're not able to spend as much, right? Like,
yeah.
Going to the airport, just buying a bottle of water is like $5. So,
yeah, I'm like, oh gosh, I've been saving more money. This is a sign. Maybe I.
Yeah. Wow. What a wild time we live in, for real. Like, honestly,
it's
truly.
It's a time to be alive. What a time to be alive.
As long as you're not in Texas.
We're not going to talk about that today, okay? We're conversation.
Just please wear a mask, even if you don't have to. Just please do it.
Just do That's it. All we'll it's say. Fine. That's it. Oh man, so your social media, and you're all over the place, right? So the post that made me finally actually just not just keep scrolling and reach out to you was the post you made about internet trolls, and you were like, yeah, I can use my legs, who cares?
Yeah,
so I want to talk about you and trolls, because I was like, this is how you respond to them, this is great.
Oh my gosh, so I am used to trolls now. It's kind of part of the territory. It shouldn't be part of the territory, but it is. And so I know, like, sometimes you just don't respond because that just adds more fuel to the fire, and they're just going to keep being jerks. And I have no problem blocking people. If I know that they're out there just being a jerk, I'm just going to block them. And, you know, they don't have to see my stuff if they don't like my stuff. I'm making that decision for you. But sometimes I can take that troll and make it a learning opportunity for other people, and just, you know, show that not every wheelchair user is completely paralyzed. There are some wheelchair users who only use their wheelchair part-time, and those reasons are 100% valid. Exactly. But yeah, I mean, sometimes I get messages like, you're a faker, you're using your legs, like, you clearly don't use your wheelchair. And it's like, buddy, no, that's what not the case faking? At all.
Oh man, that's so lame. It's funny that you said those words too, because I actually have a kid, he's like 7, in a chair, and then I showed him somebody, like a wheelchair bodybuilder. I was like on my phone, because, you know, kids, he stole my phone. Anyways, so I showed him the phone, and then another picture was the guy standing, and he's like, oh, he's faking it. And I'm like,
no.
What are you talking about? Like, you, the kid in the wheelchair, know that you could kick your legs too. What are you talking about?
There's a very interesting.
It's so internalized too.
Mm-hmm. There's a very interesting amount of like competitiveness and like I have it worseness with people. So like some disabled people won't give me the time of day because I can move my legs. But yes, that makes getting dressed a little bit easier. But sometimes my nerve pain makes it impossible for me to get dressed. And like, it's like, they all have their own different kinds of battles and everything like that. There's, right. I hope we can come to a day where we can destroy our own internalized ableism and just not compare ourselves to other disabled people and be aware that they're all different, but they're all valid.
Mm-hmm. That part. Put that on a shirt. I'll wear it.
Everyone's got to stay in their lane, man. Obviously.
Yeah,
we're all going through different things, and you know what else needs to stop? We need to stop seeing blown up on social media, like other forms of media, like the inspiration that comes from watching somebody walk for the first time, because that also creates that ableism, and that only like wheelchair users are 24-hour like wheelchair users,
and not
unless
not-
magically someday they just like wake up and start walking, you know, like there's a spectrum to everything, including disability.
Yeah,
and disability is diverse.
Mm-hmm. For sure, the walking thing gets me big time, especially as a therapist. And
I was gonna say that
people that are struggling to find that for themselves, and then their family might be like, "Oh, I want you to walk again," and I'm just like, "Ma'am, your kid can't even sit on the couch by himself. Like, what can we focus?"
I was talking to Richard Wheels to Walking, and I was listening to his podcast that he had before they paused that, but they were talking about like a lot of people who like are aiming to walk. For them, it's like their life has completely changed, and they think that if they get their walk back, they'll get their life back. And we just kind of like have to show people like you can get your life back without getting your walk back. I mean, I could theoretically potentially get to the point of being able to walk again, but I would have to give up my entire life. I would have to, like, in order to pay for that, the closest place that is for me is like an hour and a half away in San Jose. So it's very, you know, like, I would have to give up my whole life, and I don't want to do that. If there was an easier way, I'm interested in that opportunity. If it, like, reduces my chronic pain and, like, of course, you know, reducing the risk of osteoporosis, but you got to, like, kind of, like, figure out how to get your life back without getting the walk back necessarily.
Right. Right. And if it comes, it comes.
Yeah.
I think but that's great, like, advice, for now. So. Yeah. Definitely enjoying.
I think that's amazing. It's not the fact that, like, okay, if you want to walk again and you're like, oh, maybe this is a thing for me, like, cool. But like you said, like, that's the focus. Like, I have to be able to walk so I can be what? So what? So what can happen? You're going to be like, you're going to take a step and be normal? Poof. Like, that's not going to happen.
There's going to be so many different internalized things. And
yeah.
Focus on your life first and getting your life back. Learn how to live life in a chair as a badass, as a cool person. And then if an opportunity comes, take that opportunity, but it's not the only way to live an epic life.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
Love it. That word normal too. It's just like, this is normal. Like, let's normalize this. Look at all of these people that look like you and move like you.
I'm still doing laundry, I'm still going to work, I still, you know, go to bars when there's not a pandemic, I you know, I make mistakes, I you know, I'm still a normal person, I just do it on wheels and I look good doing it.
Big, what a big deal. Like, whatever, next question, right? Oh man, that's so real. And I have to applaud you for that, because you just put that into, like, perfect words, the feeling that we kind of skimmed the surface of, but, like, those are the words right there. Those are the words.
I have some feelings that I have to bring out sometimes.
Oh man. That's rough. And it's so sad too that even between the disability community, people are won't give you the time of day. Because you still don't fit what their idea of disabled is.
Yeah. It's hard. But, I mean, I just hope that someday that they realize that my life is a little different than theirs, but I'm still fighting for their rights, and I hope that they fight for my rights too.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, it's not personal. That's a them problem. Yeah. Got nothing to do with you. Yeah.
But that's another thing, like, and not calling those people trolls, but, like, with trolls as well, like, one thing that I've, like, kind of realized is, like, everything that a troll says or everything that somebody negatively says about me has absolutely nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with them. And that's kind of, like, what helps me to not feel personally attacked and to not, like, feel so down in the slums when a troll comes to me. It's like, oh, I feel bad for you almost. Yeah. Like, how?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Like, I feel bad for the, like, this is what you're spending your time doing, honey. What's good?
Like, is spreading all this hate. Like your life will be less disappointing when you focus on yourself and you spread joy to other people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
These trolls. And you can tell too. You can tell when some of them are just like, they choose a hashtag and they just follow it and just go. You can tell, because it'll be someone that's never, like, you look at their page and you're like, how did you even find me?
Go here. Like, oh, you're one of those.
Or just like a picture of a dog with sunglasses. Oh, I got you. They're weird.
And it's like, no, I just don't care, and I'm removing this little bit of energy because I don't care.
Yeah.
So have you gotten the opposite of that too? So, I mean, like, that's about boundaries, right? Like, the troll is like, you don't really need to talk to me. But have you had someone on the opposite end where they are full of positivity, but they're just like too much, like always expecting you to answer, or like, hey, Maria, hey.
Oh, absolutely. I'm thankful for the restrict feature on Instagram. I'll restrict a few people, and then it doesn't show if I've read their message. And then, like, if I have the extra energy, I'll unrestrict them, respond to their message, because I do still want to, like, be there, because they're still being nice and they're still being supportive.
Right.
I'll unrestrict them and I'll respond to their message for a little bit. And then once that conversation has died down, I'll re-restrict them so I can kind of, like, have that boundary and that limitation. And then on TikTok, I have it set up to where nobody can send me a message unless we're both following each other. So that helps with that boundary there as well.
Ooh, those are some good tips. I hope everyone listening took some notes there.
Don't be afraid to restrict people.
Restrict.
Be supportive, be kind, but sometimes you got to set boundaries and that's okay.
Yeah. I mean, you're on a public platform or whatever, right? And people are engaging with your content, but it doesn't give anyone a right to engage with you forever. Like, it doesn't, you know, like, you're not, you're not a public servant. You're not a senator or something. Like, you're the person.
I'm a person. I spend too much time watching Grey's Anatomy sometimes, and I sometimes just need to relax and breathe and not respond to all the messages.
No, messages are a lot for me sometimes. Sometimes I'm just like, unread how many? Swipe. Let me close this. I can't do this.
I'm good.
And sometimes that applies not just to social media messages, but real life, like our in real life friends and family. Like, wait.
Yeah,
a little bit of a break.
I just need some couch time. Tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah, this is for future me.
Yeah. That part. So we're coming up on about an hour. And we talked about a lot, but I just want to make sure there wasn't anything that you'd like to share with listeners that we didn't get to touch on.
I think we've done everything. I would like to talk about the Rolette's experience for anybody who might be interested.
Let it rip.
So it's the week. So for me, it was that very first week that started the team, but now it's become this event where it's all about women's empowerment. There are dance classes, there's a makeup seminar, there's so many fun activities, like a pajama party, to just like bond and connect with other women with disabilities and like have that community that we know is important and other people are really looking for. We are aiming for it to be in person, but we are prepared to go fully virtual. We are going to have a virtual option as well, no matter what. But it's going to be July 22nd through the 25th, and it's going to be a lot of fun. I will have a workout class, of course. And if you have any questions about it, you can always send me a DM at Maria Robbino on Instagram.
Ooh, love to hear it. Okay, so the Rolette's experience. So open to anyone or wheelchair users or what?
I believe wheelchair users in person, anyone with any woman with a disability virtually.
Neat. I'm into it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Maria. Fun. This busy person fit us into her schedule, Mary Beth.
For real.
Sundays are wonderful days.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you.
Disabled Girls out.
Thanks for listening to Disabled Girls Who Left. We appreciate all of your support and everyone who's taken the time to show us some love. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, or write a review of our channel. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Player FM, Google Podcasts, and more. You can also find us on Instagram at Disabled Girls Who Left.